useful and relevant. The audit also focused on the assessment of the reliability of the reported performance information to determine whether it was valid, accurate, and complete. Now, in terms of the overall audit outcome, the Office of the Auditor General did not identify any material findings on the usefulness and reliability of the reported information. As the minister has already said, as the department, we received unqualified audit opinion on our performance with no findings. Chairperson, in terms of the overall performance of the department achieved 85% of its targets, and the 85% that I'm talking about, Chairperson, can be broken as follows. Firstly, on program one, we had 10 targets, and we achieved 8 out of 10 and did not achieve the 2 targets. The 2 targets that were not achieved, one relates to unqualified audit opinion. I'm not going to speak to this issue because already the Office of the Auditor General has already spoken on the reasons why they provided a qualified audit opinion on our receivables. The second one was on the Foreign Service Act implementation. We were required to formulate codes, directives, and regulations as may be appropriate. And at the time of the end of the financial year, the draft codes, directives, and regulations were still in the consultation phase. When we come back to the Portfolio Committee for quarter one and quarter two reports, we'll give a progress on the work that has been undertaken. On program two, we had 6 targets. We achieved 5 and 1 was not achieved. And the target that was not achieved was the review of structured bilateral mechanisms. Out of the 130 bilateral mechanisms, we were able to review 113, and we could not review 17 structured bilateral mechanisms. As a result, this target was not achieved. Engagements with respect to this target required for the finalization of the review could not be concluded due to the scheduling difficulties as a result of what the minister has spoken on COVID-19. Under program three, we had 10 targets, 8 were achieved and 2 were not achieved. The 2 that were not achieved, one relates to the development of a long-term strategy for South Africa's membership or candidatures and identify which membership to pursue. Due to a combination of factors that also include a COVID-19, but also due to other factors that has to do with the concurrent UNSC membership of South Africa, as well as our chairship of the AU, we could not proceed to complete this work. The second target was on us compiling 2 assessment reports reflecting how the outcomes of the Africa partnerships are aligned to the AU Agenda 2063. We only did 1 assessment report that was focusing on continental partnerships, reflecting on the challenges as well as the AU guidelines in expectation of the approval of the global review and partnership strategy. The second one was going to focus on the Africa-EU partnership. We could not proceed with that work as a result of the postponement of the Africa-EU summit that was supposed to be held during that reporting period and has been postponed to 2020. On program 4, Chairperson, we had 8 targets and 8 targets were achieved. The overall performance of the department, we had 34 targets and we achieved 29, which represent 85% performance. In terms of program 3, COVID-19, as the minister has said, inhibited the department from pursuing a normal agenda with our bilateral partners. The impact of the pandemic shifted the focus of some engagements to address the immediate priorities, including repatriation, sharing of best practices in combating the pandemic, and request for assistance in the provision of medical supplies, as well as the PPEs. It was not possible to arrange high-level visits or in-person structured bilateral meetings, as the minister has said, during the hard lockdown. Postponements of key engagements and uncertainties as a result of COVID-19 brought about some difficulties in planning, and this continued to be the case in the context of the resumption of normal program of engagements. Now, with respect to what I refer to as the review of structured bilateral mechanisms earlier on, these are instruments which provide a framework for bilateral engagements and is an important and valuable foreign policy instrument. Chairperson, they remain important vehicles for cooperation and promoting South Africa's national priorities as reflected in our policy documents such as the National Development Plan. The focus of the review was to either confirm the status quo or upgrade or downgrade the level of bilateral interaction or find alternative ways for bilateral engagements. The 17 reviews that were outstanding at the end of the financial year have since been concluded. We'll give these full details in our quarter one and quarter two report to the portfolio committee. Chairperson, on Africa at the bilateral level, all planned activities of our structured bilateral mechanisms were cancelled except for high-level engagements, mainly the receipt and sending of special envoys to the president or from the president respectively. High-level interactions at the level of the president and the minister with their counterparts were conducted telephonically, and it is through these interactions that both bilateral issues and issues of the continental agenda were discussed. Our missions maintained limited liaison with host governments and stakeholders depending on the applicable local COVID-19 regulations or measures. In this regard, seminars, meetings, etc. were held virtually. In addition to this, our missions and head office undertook activities to facilitate the repatriation of South African citizens in their respective countries of accreditation and assist with the outbound repatriation of foreign nationals. There's a concern that the momentum gained over the years in building relations with countries on the continent, particularly with Southern Africa, may have further declined with COVID-19 pandemic. As such, South Africa may have to make a concerted effort to regain the momentum post the COVID-19 pandemic. As for the regional integration, SADC postponed its meeting in the first quarter until it took a decision to host meetings virtually. The SADC Electoral Observation Mission, also called SIOM, for the presidential elections held in Malawi in June 2020 and Tanzania in October 2020 had to be cancelled. However, following SADC learning the new ways of doing things, the SIOM for the election in Seychelles was conducted virtually in October 2020. Chairperson, on the economic diplomacy in the continent. During the reporting period, trade and investment seminars were held to identify the barriers to trade and investment, as well as opportunities for trade and investment in various sectors. That includes, amongst others, electrical generation, renewable energy, et cetera. We engaged local companies to promote South Africa valued added products and facilitated business-to-business contacts. We hosted and participated in a number of virtual business seminars, networking, and engagements with potential high-level investors and importers. What we have noted during this period, Chairperson, is that South African companies operating on the continent continue to face difficulties, including repatriation of profits, tariffs, and non-tariff barriers. Also, we noted that South African companies continue to face legal and financial discrimination and non-payment by government institutions for infrastructure project. Specifically on SADC, the SADC structure during the period under review has deliberated on key strategic issues relating to COVID-19 pandemic, particularly around the fight against the pandemic, the impact of the pandemic on the implementation of the SADC work program, and the socioeconomic impact of the pandemic on the region. During this period, SADC approved guidelines on harmonization and facilitation of cross-border transport operations across the region during the COVID-19 pandemic. Also approved the COMESA EAC SADC Tripartite Trade and Transport Facilitation Guidelines for the movement of persons, goods, services across the three regions during the COVID-19 pandemic. SADC also approved the SADC Vision 2050 and the Regional Indicative Strategic Development Plan 2020 to 2030. South Africa continued to promote and advance peace and security through its participation in various SADC structures, as the minister has already spoken to this. And as a facilitator in the Kingdom of Lesotho, we continue to provide detailed progress reports on the situation in Lesotho and progress on the reforms to SADC. A roadmap for SADC to assist Mozambique in stabilizing the region, the future role of SADC through the FIB or SADC standby force after MONUSCO reduction or exit. Lastly, the development of the draft guidelines for election observation under public health emergencies that are as a result of health as well as natural disasters. South Africa, once again, and a greater opportunity to influence regional policies and outcomes when it became the incoming chair of the SADC organ on politics, defense, security, and security cooperation, as the minister has already reported earlier on. On Americas and Europe, in terms of our bilateral engagements, we have been focusing mainly on sourcing COVID-19 test kits and PPEs. We successfully established a program with the government of Netherlands and the International Atomic Energy Agency. And Chairperson, we also, as a country, constructed field hospitals in Gauteng and the Eastern Cape with the assistance of the German government and German automotive companies. The United Kingdom made a 50 million contribution to the Solidarity Fund, in addition to numerous other projects that they have. Further contributions to PPEs and test kits were secured from the US, Russia, Turkey, Lithuania, Czech Republic, whilst Cuba donated in a form of medical and health professionals. Much focus during the first 6 months was on the repatriation processes, not only of South African nationals stranded abroad, but of nationals of American and European countries stranded in South Africa. We've had joint efforts in support of regional and international initiatives, such as Access to COVID-19 Tools Accelerator, also known as ACT-A, which is a global collaboration to accelerate development, production, and equitable access to COVID-19 tests, treatment, and vaccines. We also had joint efforts in support of regional and international initiatives that also include COVAX. We engaged foreign governments to seek support on the agreement on trade-related aspects of intellectual property rights, which has been a huge issue. So we engaged in the waiver thereof that South Africa and other developing countries have proposed to the WTO. On economic diplomacy, we collaborated with the presidency and DTIC in support of the president's target to attract $100 billion in investment over the next 5 years. And we continue to do this work in our missions abroad. South African mission are also focusing on where applicable, talking to companies that have made pledges previously and making necessary follow-ups with those companies abroad. Mission have also created their own investor databases for their investment promotion work. This is something that assists us to also make follow-ups on the pledges that were made in the previous investment conferences. Prospectors and Developers Annual on the Prospectors and Developers Annual Convention. This is a mining convention which offers the opportunity to showcase opportunities for investment in the mining sector in South Africa. And we continue to support junior miners in ensuring that they also participate in this opportunity. But this program also assist them with respect to issues such as capacity building, but also assist with mineral beneficiation. A number of webinars, Chairperson, took place focusing on promoting trade and investment in the following sectors that are listed on the presentation, that includes oil and gas exploration, trade diversification, etc. Economic relations were promoted, even though they were promoted in a limited way compared to previous years, through activities such as the hosting of virtual business seminars and engagements with potential high-level investors and importers. Meetings were also used as a platform to project the capabilities of South African companies and allowed the sharing of experiences, including on women as well as on youth development strategies. The following are some of the key highlights of the work undertaken in this region in promoting our foreign policy objectives, but also I'll just mention some of the international developments that I think are important for us as a country. During this period under review, we finalized the 10-year strategic program of cooperation with China 2020 to 2029. South Africa has acceded to the Treaty of Amity with ASEAN, the Moscow Declaration reflecting the outcomes of the 12th BRICS Summit is part of the things that we have during this period, and I will speak to this particular issue briefly shortly. We policy coordination and consideration of regional developments were conducted through a virtual regional heads of mission conference in June 2020, and also a Middle East focused engagement in August 2020. The Al-Ula Agreement and the end of blockade of Qatar is anticipated to be positive for South Africa's regional engagements as we proceed with this work. The strategic alignment, realignment in the Middle East reflected in the Abraham Accords and the fracturing of the decades-old Arab consensus linking progress on the Middle East peace process, commonly known as MEPP, and the Palestinian state statehood and recognition of Israel resulted in increased engagements with partners in the region and consideration of South Africa's policy options. South Africa's efforts include a renewed focus on civil society partners and track two diplomacy in support of MEPP. The Quadrilateral Security Dialogue Summit was held between the leaders of Australia, India, Japan, and the United States, and subsequent US bilateral engagements with Japan, the Republic of Korea, and China. During this period under review, we also had to look at the implication of the US sanction on Huawei and its implication on South Africa's telecommunication sector. We also had to look at other factors in this region that includes the military coup in Myanmar and the escalating violence, which requires monitoring and consultation with regional actors consistently, such as the Association of Southeast Asia Nations, commonly referred to as ASEAN. On economic diplomacy, we have made follow-ups on investment pledges made during the last two South African investment conference, particularly from UAE and India. We have also, during this period, seen the high-speed rail project and the Chinese grant funding that are in the pipeline. We had an interdepartmental senior officials team on the impact of South Africa of the US sanctions on the Chinese telecommunication sector and Huawei, as I have already said, with a view of analyzing the actual impact that these sanctions has on South Africa. We also had done something that is quite encouraging in the promotion of the halal products and addressing the regulatory barriers to fully taking advantage of the opportunities in the region. This also remains a priority for us, especially for the missions in Indonesia, Malaysia, the UAE, Kuwait, Qatar, and Saudi Arabia. One of the key highlights of our work, Chairperson, during this period is that South Africa has successfully negotiated market access for the export of South African beef to Malaysia. And I think this is one of these important landmarks that we need to highlight as we report. The niche parts of the South African defense industry is competitive in the provision of equipment and technology that fit into the region's defense needs. The promotion of South African defense industry is of particular importance in the Middle East as one of the world's biggest importers of defense-related products, and a number of orders were also noted from Southeast Asia. South Africa is achieving some success with the export of live animals to the Middle East, and the focus on the export of regional hubs has boosted export of South African products to the wider region. This seems to be related to pressures being placed on Australian producers by animal rights groups regarding the export of live animals. Chairperson, on program three, again, COVID-19 pandemic led, as the minister said, to the postponement of some of the key conferences that she had already spoken to. South Africa effectively engaged in virtual diplomacy to advance its national interest and those of Africa and the Global South in a multilateral fora where we have our presence. The year was notable for two main activities. One, South Africa's chairship of the AU in 2020 and the completion of the second year of South Africa's third term of the UN Security Council. In terms of the system of global governance, South Africa's leading role in engaging with the World Health Organization and other key stakeholders to coordinate a continental response to COVID-19 challenge and to galvanize developed countries' partners to push for economic relief measures for developing countries. As one of the indicators of this process where South Africa is leading in this field, our president has been appointed as the AU COVID-19 champion. The president was also appointed by the Director General of WHO alongside the Prime Minister of Norway as co-chairs of the Access to COVID-19 Tools Accelerator that I spoke to earlier on. On the next slide, South Africa successfully completed the second year of third UNSC term during this reporting period. His term, as the minister briefly spoke to, was defined by the theme continuing an actor on the continent and beyond, joined hands with the UN and the international community and played a key role in responding to COVID-19 during the time when the world experienced unprecedented lockdowns, as the minister has said, and the skies were closed to aviation. To this end, South Africa agreed to the request by the UN and the international community to establish a temporary humanitarian hub in Johannesburg. And this is something that we really must be proud of. The Commonwealth Heads of Government meeting that was set for to take place in Rwanda was postponed as a result of the outbreak of COVID-19. South Africa participated virtually in two Commonwealth Foreign Affairs Ministers meeting. In this, coincided with its chairship of the AU. This presented South Africa with a unique opportunity to advance the Africa agenda in both institutions and harmonize its priorities of promoting Security Council decisions in support of the African Union initiative of silencing the guns across the continent. South Africa's 1 year at the helm of the AU concluded at the 34th ordinary session of the Assembly in February 2021. As you are aware, the AU's overall theme for this year was silencing the guns, creating conducive conditions for Africa's development. As a result of the outbreak of COVID-19, all AU physical meetings were suspended, and South Africa had to adjust its strategic objectives, and we had to learn very fast to utilize other available means to continue with our chairship. Under the leadership of South Africa, Africa swiftly adapted and took action with an innovative Pan-African strategy to address the devastating effects of the pandemic in the continent. We also saw the commencement of the trading under the Africa Continental Free Trade Area on 1st June 2021, which signaled a concrete achievement under South African leadership that will significantly boost African economic development for many decades to come. On silencing the guns, the introduction of the periodic reviews every 2 years was also a major achievement that will ensure that the heads of state and governments actively monitor the resolution of conflict in the continent. On South-South cooperation, South Africa's participation in BRICS continues to emphasize concrete cooperation that contributes both directly and indirectly to the priorities of a better South Africa, a better Africa, and a better world. I said I will briefly speak to the 12th BRICS summit, which was preceded by a virtual meeting of BRICS Sherpas and South Sherpas in November 2022 to finalize the Moscow, which had the following outcomes. Number one, the review of the strategy for BRICS Economic Partnership 2025, the launch of the BRICS Women's Business Alliance, which is a huge achievement, the Memorandum of Understanding on Cooperation in the Field of physical culture and support and sport, extension of the Memorandum of Understanding on cooperation in the field of competition, law and policy, the first project by the BRICS Energy Research Cooperation Platform, and lastly, an internet has also been established to fast track the establishment of the BRICS Vaccine Center. On the new development bank, we note that the NDB is actively contributing to the ongoing effort of BRICS countries to address the health and economic consequences of the COVID-19 pandemic. The Board of Governors of the bank approved a $1 billion emergency assistance program for South Africa in 2020. South Africa will receive an additional $1 billion from the NDB to support the country's recovery from COVID-19. This was announced on the 8th April 2021. The Indian Ocean region is geostrategically important and a valuable resource with great potential for innovation, job creation, and sustainable socio-economic development. South Africa serves as the coordinating country driving the implementation of the IORA Action Plan 2017 to 2021 in the key areas such as the blue economy and the strengthening of the association's institutional arrangements and broadening engagement, which were the key components of South Africa's approved strategy during our recent chairship of IORA from 2017 to 2019. On the IPSA Fund for Poverty and Hunger Alleviation, we note that this fund has over the span of 15 years successfully promoted all 17 sustainable development goals in 21 partner countries through 27 projects with a total disbursement of $31 million to date. The fund's contribution to Africa is especially notable, having reached 8 African countries, with 14 projects being implemented since 2003, with the global efforts to contain the spread of the COVID-19 pandemic. The World Health Organization modeled its training program for its health workers operating in far-flung remote areas on an IPSA-funded project, e-learning platform developed for Vietnam's rural health workers. Chairperson, as a member of the non-aligned movement on the next slide, summit on the intact of the NEM contact group in response to COVID-19. Two virtual NEM ministerial meetings were held, as well as one virtual extraordinary meeting of the NAM Ministerial Committee on Palestine, and one virtual NAM midterm ministerial conference during this period under review. NAM focused on multilateral efforts to respond to global challenges, reform of the United Nations and multilateral institutions, the Israel-Palestine conflict, territorial dispute, counterterrorism, cyber crime, peacekeeping, disarmament, the list is endless. On the North-South cooperation due to the COVID-19 pandemic, the only scheduled North-South partnership meeting, the AU-EU summit, had to be postponed, and I earlier reflected on this when I spoke about our targets. On program four, Chairperson, this program has two of our branches, which is